Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are scrubbing in. It is International Women's Day. I really can't think of anyone who's probably more excited to celebrate today more than you.
No, I've been like, when I tell you, I feel like I'm on a high right now. I feel like I'm on a high. I've been reposting and posting everybody's quotes today and just like all these things and just feeling inspired and this like energy.
Yeah, I can feel, as soon as I saw the hashtag, the first thing I looked, like when I looked at Instagram this morning, I was like, it may as well be Tanya's birthday.
That's what it feels like, but better than a birthday because it's just like everybody's stories and I don't know, it's cool.
I love it. I mean, it's kind of one of those things, I almost think of a day like today, like a women's national day, International Day, I think of it almost kind of like Valentine's Day, where I'm like, it should be celebrated every single day, and I do think we should be celebrating it every day, but it's cool to have a specific day dedicated to the girls.
You know what, too? I've been kind of on this kerbubble.
What is that?
Like, I don't know, I'll explain it, and then you tell me what the right word is.
Kermumble.
Kermumble.
Okay.
We do all of these things when the women in our lives get married or have a baby, and yet we don't do these things when the women in our lives get a huge promotion or start their own business, and it's just like, I'm over it.
What do you mean? You mean like celebrating it?
Yeah.
We do, though. I mean, I think if you're surrounding yourself with friends and people who are like your cheerleaders, that's where everyone should be.
For sure. Yeah. But I think we do not acknowledge when women are like making steps in their career or in their business and things like that. It's like we only celebrate their personal accomplishments. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
it's not celebrated equally. And so I'm here to make a stance that I want to start celebrating those things in the lives of the women, in the lives of the women around me. I want to celebrate big career moves and accomplishments. You know, when you buy your home, you best believe we're going to celebrate.
Well, I hope so. That was a big freaking deal.
Yeah, but people don't do that, you know?
Well, I will be celebrating and would love for you to be there.
Yeah, like that's a huge, huge accomplishment.
I think
we couldn't do that as women.
I
don't really know how many years ago. I'm not good with numbers.
Well, it's shockingly recent that we weren't able to do certain things. And I mean, you have to, you know, we're kind of in this interesting generation of like, we are seeing so much progress, but there's still a lot more to be done.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to celebrate the progress that has been made while looking to continue to move forward.
Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a bridal shower. I love a baby shower. I'm not poo-pooing those things, but I'm just kind of here to say there's more to us than celebrating just those things.
Well, I get what you're saying. I'm on the same page. I'm more so like, let's celebrate those things and let's celebrate the things that we accomplish outside of traditional expectations of, you know, some people don't want to have kids. Some people don't want to get married.
Totally.
And they are doing other things that are equally worth celebration. And sometimes, I get what you're saying, they get overlooked because they're not society's expectations of the typical role of a woman.
Yeah. So guess what?
What?
You got to be the change. So I'm just going to, really going to make an effort. Like now that I've kind of had this realization, I'm just like, I'm really going to make the effort to do that and celebrate these wins for the people in my life that don't involve those things.
Great. I'm so for it.
And like somebody was, I was talking just about women and because a friend of mine was telling me, she's like, not sure if she wants to have kids or get married, to be honest. And I was just like, I think why women got married so young back in the day is because we couldn't buy a home by ourselves. We couldn't have a credit card by ourselves. And so you kind of had to get married to like live your life. And it's just not the case anymore. So don't settle for somebody when you're 19 or 20. Step up to your plate and get your man that you, the one that, that you want and deserve.
Don't settle at any age. And yes, if you want, if you find your person that young, that's awesome, but don't do it just because you feel like you have to.
Right.
I also think that, I mean, I love women. I'm a girl's girl. I've always been that way. I've always had girlfriends surrounding me. And I love men. Like, I think men are wonderful, and I never want to feel like we're like, these days are like bashing the men. I think it's more of like lifting up women and just encouraging everyone to be celebrated.
I agree.
In every accomplishment, whether it's like business success or personal success, whatever it is. So it's a fun day. We both have our sweatshirts on. Mine says Girl Power.
And mine says Alpha Female. But I did, you know, it's something that I did notice. So I've been doing my Grammy prep, and I've been really like honing in on the albums of the year. And again, I'm not going to slight any men, so I'm not going to say any, call any names.
But just the tradition is every year you listen to every album of the year nominee all the way through.
Yeah, top to bottom, just because I want to like get the feel, get the gauge. And I've just been noticing that the women that are nominated have not just put on an album, but like really worked for it. You know what I mean? Like Taylor gave us Folklore. She gave us the studio sessions where she explains every song like visually. Mm-hmm. She gave us all these playlists to like mix and match songs. Yeah. Who was it? Like Dua Lipa did this huge Studio 54 performance so she could perform the album for the, you know what I mean? Like all the women go above and beyond. And then there's some men in the category that like, I didn't even know they dropped an album last year because they didn't do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who are the contenders this year?
Let me get the list. I don't know fully off the top of my head because there's 8, but
they're good. I liked your, I agree that Rain On Me should have its own just spot there.
You know what? It should have been a Record of the Year nominee and it is not. And I am not going down without swinging.
It was to me one of the best pop songs that we've had in a long time.
It felt so long. I'm befuddled. It did get some recognition in like the smaller categories, but it should have been Record of the Year for sure. Okay, Album of the Year. Jhené Aiko with her album Chilombo.
How was that?
What?
How was that one?
So, like really great.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hadn't listened to it, but I really, really, really like it. Black Pumas, Everyday Life, Coldplay, Jacob Collier,
just
don't even know what that album is.
Haven't gotten that.
Spelled, it's DJESSE Volume 3, but I think we could butcher it. Jesse? D Silent? We don't know.
Yeah. I'll get there. It's only Monday. Women in Music Part 3, Haim, Future Nostalgia, Dua Lipa, Hollywood's Bleeding, Post Malone, and Folklore, Taylor Swift.
All right. Jesse is pronounced Jesse, and it's a reference to his initials, JC. The D is silent.
Oh, that's interesting.
Jesse is the name of this album.
Very artistic.
But it just proved to me that, like, the women, they don't, you know, like, they kick it up a notch. They go the extra mile and the extra step because we kind of have to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking that, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of like making steps into equality for women and everything. And, but I love being a girl. Like I love being a woman.
Me too.
All the things that come with it. I never feel like, oh, this is, you know, sometimes I'm like, it's not fair that some things are the way they are, but I love everything that comes with being a woman. And
yeah, because we make things like men give us sperm and we make a baby, you know, like you guys buy a house, but we make it a home.
Oh,
very good. Very good. Yes.
You buy groceries. We make homemade dinner.
Or we order Postmates. It's like, it can be either way.
But I do have to say too, that like, I actually got emotional. I was texting Becca earlier, just how important your girlfriends are in your life, because I think it's pretty obvious that I've been experiencing a lot of like pain and hurt the last couple months. And there is a little bit of loneliness that comes with that, but I look at the good friends I have in my life, and I like never really felt like I felt those things, but because I had these women in my life that I could lean on, like truly, I got through it. And like, honestly, you guys are like lifesavers, like flotation devices. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's so true. And not everybody has that. And I think it's so, like, beautiful, and it's really important. And I think if you're listening and you don't really have really, really good friends in your life, and it's you, let's say you're married and you really just, it's you and your partner. And I think it's so important, no matter what stage you're in a relationship, whether you're single, in a relationship, or married, to have those people outside of that, that will be there no matter what. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I look at, like, it's going to make me emotional, but, like when I was really, really down, like, you're there, you know what I mean? Like, you pick me up and you don't judge me. You don't do anything. You're just there. And, like, that's so important to have in your life.
I mean, that's, I mean, listen, I believe me when I say I feel the same about you. And I always see comments that, you know, if people who identify as a Becca, and they're like, I just, even people I think who identify as a Tanya are like, where do I find a friend like Tanya? I'm like, listen, I just saw a quote, a diamond in a pool full of rhinestones. And, and honestly, I'm so with you. Like, I think having a healthy relationship and, like, being able to rely on your partner is so important. I think that's a huge part of a relationship, but sometimes those things don't work out. And the constants in my, like, the constant relationships in my life have been my friends for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
When everything, even with my family, like, any, like, struggle or time that I've been going through something, my friends have been the consistent ones. And I think it's so important that we tell them thank you. Like, I know they're, it's part of the job of being a best friend, but it is important to, like, acknowledge what we bring to, or what they bring to our lives, because I'm the same. Like, I have had so many times where I'm like, man, I'm so grateful for the people I surround myself with, because they are the ones who are my sounding board most of the time.
Yeah. I found myself, like, not, like, thanking my friends a lot lately. Like, I'm like, I know it's been a lot with me lately. So thank you for your patience, and I love you.
I mean, that's the thing, though. It's like, what are friends for if they're not able to listen? And sometimes all you need is someone to sit there and listen.
Yeah.
And sometimes with Tanya, I want to be like, here's my advice. And then I'm like, I think she just needs me to listen on this one. Mm-hmm. And if she asks for my opinion, then I am happy to give it. But I think that comes also, I think, with maturity and growing together, knowing, like, when someone just needs you to hear them and listen to what they have to say versus giving your advice or coming across, like, judgmental, because we're all kind of on our own path. But I think we're both very lucky.
Very,
I'm very grateful to have you and all of my same friends. If you, I don't know if any of them listen, because are they really my friend? No, I'm just kidding. But I'm very grateful too.
Yeah. I've just been feeling, like, really overloaded with love and support. So I've been trying to give it back.
You give it back all the time. You sent me flowers for just because.
Well, not just because you've been dealing with a lot lately. So the flowers are the least I can do.
So happy International Women's Day to all of our listeners. I mean, y'all keep this thing going.
Yeah, you're the
floating device for the scrubbing.
You're the podcast. Orange. You're the pulp to our orange juice.
I hate pulp, though.
Oh, you do?
I hate
That's
it.
The most nutritious and girthiest, delicious part.
The texture.
No, Becca's right. Pulp's gross.
Ew.
Okay, then you are the retina to our cornea. Are those both in the eye?
Yeah.
You are the blood to our heart.
Okay.
You are the pep in our step.
They are the life's blood of the podcast. That's true.
Yeah, sure.
I agree with that one.
Okay.
Did you watch the Oprah Meghan Markle? Did you?
First of all, I'm super quarantined because of the Grammys, so all I do now is just watching Oprah or watching videos of Megan Thee Stallion.
yeah, I get that. Right? The priorities.
But yeah, it was very, God, a shout out to Oprah, because
there was this warmth and comfort she brings to me that, like, I remember being so young, literally elementary and middle school, I think, and I'd come home, get my after school snack, and sit on the couch with my mom and watch these, like, really deep Oprah interviews. And there was something about watching last night where I'm like, she's the best to do it.
She's the best. Not only is she, like, comforting and, like, not, like, she really did go there with a lot of stuff. And I also love that she, like, when the most shocking thing I think that Megan revealed was that there was talks about the color of the baby, of Archie's skin. Yeah. And she asked Meghan Markle, like, who did that come from? And Meghan was like, not going to say, because it's, you know, I think it would be too damaging. And then Harry joins and she's like, so where did that come from? I was like, yes, Oprah. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Don't, she don't quit. And she, I like,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she's all, I heard you, Meghan. I'll respect you.
Yeah.
But Harry. Same question for you.
Because she, I mean, I think her reaction was all of our reactions, and it was just kind of like shocked and disbelief. And so, yeah, we all wanted answers. We wanted to know.
She's being universally praised, it seems like, on social media, how it was just a masterclass of how to interview somebody. That the techniques she used, the doubling back around, the silence to get them to keep talking, it was just perfection.
Perfection.
I just loved that in the perfection of it, that moment of when she found out about the color of baby skin, her reaction was so literally, everyone I felt like out loud watching from their couch said, what? Yeah. With her, like, what?
Totally.
And it was such a genuine, like, she wasn't, it was just raw and real, which I love.
There were a couple things where, like, you know how they basically were financially cut off from the royal family. And I'm like, what does that entail? Like, do they get, like, what's their salary? Is it monthly? Does it just go straight in their bank account? How much is it? Does it, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just had so many questions about that in general.
Yeah, maybe we'll, like, get a part two with Oprah. And we can get the financial details.
Everyone's clamoring for the Oprah Britney interview and when that's going to be. Because that would be, I mean, if CBS wants to recreate the numbers they got last night, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I loved that. I just loved the interview because even though there was so much truth and honesty and vulnerability from Meghan and Harry, there was still respect for their family. And I think respecting, like, even if you don't agree with your family, sometimes, like, airing a lot, the dirty laundry feels a little, it can get so messy. And I loved that they kept it, like, this was our experience, it's been our experience, and they didn't, you know, what was the word she used? Disparage? Mm-hmm. Anyone's name. And I don't know. I just like that the interview never felt
bashy,
trashy, or messy, which sometimes they feel like that in these, like, huge press interviews. So
I'm not going to lie. Prince Charles seems like a little bit of a not my kind of dude, you know?
Not your kind of guy?
No, I'm not putting him on the vision board anytime soon, you know?
I can see that, yeah.
Not looking to attract me a Prince Charles, if you know what I'm saying.
I was laughing today. Sir. I was doing my workout, and I was doing, like, curtsy lunges, and I was like, I wonder if this is how deep she has to curtsy for the queen, because a lot of people were saying, how would you not know that you would have to curtsy for the queen? I'm like,
I wouldn't know.
I would not know that in private, without cameras around, that I would have to do that. Like, that, I would be needing some, I'd be like, Fergie, come teach me.
Yeah, I would have no idea.
But yeah, it was really great. I loved it.
It was really great.
And I can't wait for Oprah's Super Soul Sunday.
I mean,
that's good. She might be my new interview for the podcast. My dream.
Guest. I mean, are you kidding? That would be just like, oh,
she just interviews us the whole time.
Totally.
On her own podcast.
I do also have to say, though, I have been feeling like the world is getting back to normal a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I'm really enjoying it. I actually went out to dinner. I took one of my girlfriends who I hadn't seen before the pandemic. And she's a big birthday person, and we obviously couldn't celebrate her. She usually has, like, a big party for it, and she obviously didn't this year, so I took her out to dinner. And we're at this restaurant. I don't know, like, what was running through my blood that night, but I got hit on left and right. She literally goes, I haven't been outside my house in a year. I go to dinner with you. And it's like Grand Central Station at our table. Like these guys just like kept coming up and like asking to buy us drinks. And all, like, it was so wild. I just felt like, wow, I forgot what it's like to like meet humans and interact with people and in the real world.
Yeah. It's so fun. Like, obviously I'm in a relationship, so I'm not like looking out to go get hit on, but it is so, I kind of miss that. Like that, like fine, like flirty energy of just feeling like, who's going to buy me the next drink? Like who's going to come up? Maybe, you know, some days you have it, some days you don't, but like the mojo feeling,
the
your mojo was flowing through your veins.
My mojo was like on fire when I left, but I mean, one of them I was just said like, oh, the drinks are from me, we're good, it's her birthday, like go away. But one of them was actually really cute and like seemed normal and nice. So,
but your point is that when this is finally over, which we seem to be getting in that direction pretty well, it's just going to be mojo central.
I kind of think so. And like, I didn't even like, my hair was so greasy and gross. Like,
no,
I didn't.
You looked so cute. You looked.
One cares about greasy hair. That is the weirdest
thing.
No one's
like, oh my God, her hair looks.
I'll never get that.
Greasy.
That you think any guy would be like, her hair's a little greasy. I'm not going to go talk to her. That's insane.
I went to go put money in my meter in my car. And then I was like walking back to our table. And I made eye contact with this guy. And I was wearing my mask. And he was wearing a mask. So obviously you can't really see. But he said he could see my smile through my mask.
Yeah. That your eyes were smiling?
Maybe my eyes lit up. Eyes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we all smile with our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell. Here, watch. Yeah. I'll cover my face. And you can tell when I smile.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was cute. I was like, all right, girl.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, it's nice that there's some going out to eat, even though we're outside and stuff, feels so normal. Feels like so much normalcy. So fun.
Yeah.
And this was a big milestone in terms of the pandemic. Today was my daughter's first day at high school.
How was it?
It was very good. She just got home. It was very exciting. I mean, for me, it's exciting. They were all rolling their eyes at me because I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Why isn't this recording anymore?
Hold on.
Okay, so if you notice a change in audio quality, I let Becca push the button today. She somehow didn't push it. I'm not sure what happened.
I have no defense because in my mind, I pushed the button and I saw the numbers turn red, which means it's recording. But unfortunately, Tanya checked the card and there's no recording. So I'm either seeing things or I pressed the wrong button.
So I'm so sorry, Mark. I had to interrupt your conversation about the first day of high school. But when I looked down and I saw it said 0000, I was just like, I think we need to pause for a moment here.
Well, this is a look behind the scenes. This is why we always roll on Zoom in addition to rolling ourselves. So that if there's a technical problem, we have the Zoom audio as a backup.
We're really peeling back the curtain for
everybody
here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So we wanted to make half of the podcast with exceptional audio quality. And then I wanted y'all to see the difference between what it would be like if we didn't have the equipment we had. So it's just really
trying. And we had to fight for this equipment. You know, we had to fight for this little whatever that thing is. I don't even know what that thing is. Mm-hmm. We had to really fight for it, you know?
Anyways, sorry about that. But happy that they get a better quality second half
that's
of the
true.
Podcast.
That's the bright side.
Yeah, that's the bright
side. I'll appreciate it more now.
Wait, I want to know, did your daughter say that everyone was like kind of socially awkward seeing each other for the first time?
Well, they're not though, because they've seen each other on Zoom and the classes are so small because some kids are in the morning and some kids are at night and a lot of kids are being kept home by their parents and blah, blah, blah. So her theater class today was 3 people. So no, it's not terribly, it's not like all of a sudden she's thrown in a normal high school environment. It's still very strange, but at least she's in the building now where she wasn't before. And I was making a big deal out of it this morning and the rest of the family were rolling their eyes at me because I'm the one that gets emotional about all these things. But I think it's a really big deal. I think high school, for better or worse, is something that kind of sticks with you your whole life. You'll always remember high school. You always mention high school. You always think about high school. High school is that big turning point from childhood to adulthood. I think it's a big deal. And they were all rolling their eyes. But I think my daughter started to get it after a while. But anyway, she started to see the milestone that it was.
I mean, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. I do think like once you get more into senior year, that's really where things take that turn. Perhaps. Because you're about to go off on your own. But it is
like
a
freshman year of high school is just like, I remember my first day feeling like I was a goldfish in a new lake with swans and there were like turtles in there and like algae and I was just swimming.
Getting a little far with this analogy.
Yeah, the analogies are extravagant today.
I was swimming in this new lake and it was just like my eyes
were a pond.
A pond. Did I say pond? My eyes were just so open and it was just so cool, you know, like it was such a cool experience freshman
year. It's jarring because I remember very clearly that, you know, I was 14 years old and you're in school with 18 year olds and they are men and women and they are walking down the hallway right next to you and they are adults. And that is just weird because you're like, I was just in elementary school just a couple of years ago. Oh, I'm here with these adults.
I'm like intimidated by kids now, like high school kids. I feel if I had to walk through a high school hallway right now, I would be like stressed because
no
they're,
way.
Yeah, I really do because they're pretty intimidating. I'll just say that.
I think I was just so naive in high school. You know what I mean? Like in a good way though, like in a positive naivete where I just kind of walked around and I'm sure like seniors you know what I mean? Like there was always that senior freshman kind of rivalry and like the seniors were throwing apples at, you know, freshmen's heads and stuff
what?
At lunch.
No, I'm like, why not? Who was throwing apples? That feels dangerous.
It was actually our sophomore year, but yeah, I can get Kelly Peterson actually, because I talked about this on the morning show and she reached out to me and she was like, OMG, I'll never forget when that happened. So I have receipts. I have people that can speak to this, but I just didn't even like think anything of it. I was just like, oh, like, okay. Like I didn't even care. Like I was
like you got hit in the head with an apple and you were just like,
no,
okay.
I didn't get hit. They didn't target them at me. They were targeting more at my friends, which is still awful.
Yeah. Something about Tanya just bebopping her way through school and getting hit with an apple is like a really funny mental.
But like the seniors hated us when we were sophomores. Like they hated our sophomore class. And I just like didn't even, I was just like, oh, like I made friends with one of them. And I was like, oh, you'd be like my big sister in high school. And just like, like didn't care. There was this rivalry, just like blindly naive.
Well, yeah, you had bigger things. You had a synergy club for John Mayer and Shakira. Like you don't have time to worry about the mindless opinions of seniors.
No, I didn't. Like, I just didn't care.
Have you seen John Mayer? You're not on TikTok, huh?
Correct.
John Mayer's on TikTok. And like within a day, he had already just mastered it. And he is hilarious. Like so strange, but so hilarious. But he sits down and has his guitar and he's like, so here's the intro of Slow Dancing in a Burning Room. You just do like, it's this one. And then you just like drag it out along.
God, that song.
And it starts and he just does it so easily. And then people in the comments are like, wow, man, like you're pretty good. You should consider this as a career. Like,
oh, because they don't know who he is.
No, it's just like a joke. Oh. It's so hard to explain TikTok humor to people who don't have TikTok. Like, honestly, between you, Haley, I'll say like these hilarious things from TikTok and it's just like crickets in the eyes.
You know, some people think TikTok's science. Funny. Some people think Ted Lasso's funny, and they don't tend to cross over it
exactly.
very much.
That's
you know?
True.
You
could
actually. Be a TikTok person or a Ted Lasso person. I'm Ted Lasso all the way, all the way.
Yeah.
But you're also friends, so that's where I get confused by your humor.
Oh my gosh, my friend actually sent me, this was probably a TikTok of sorts, I don't know, but it was a video of somebody saying, "Would you rather date?" I can't remember what the thing was, but it was like this or that. And it was, would you rather date a serial killer or somebody that watches Friends every night before they go to bed? And I was like,
I'm offended.
Oh, I know. It's like, oh,
wow.
Whoops. Yeah. It's a great place to be. I'm like, sometimes I wrote back and I was like, sometimes I literally can't watch certain episodes because I'm laughing out loud to myself and I can't fall asleep.
Mark, I have a question because you mentioned something that struck me. Do you consider yourself a Tanya and your wife is a Becca in a way?
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty accurate. Yes.
Because like you being emotional about the kids going to school and then her like everyone rolling their eyes feels kind of similar
brand
to me. Yeah. Just be like, okay, honey.
Yeah, and I'm seeing a lot of Tanya tendencies out of my oldest daughter. She's very excited because, you know, she's a big AJR fan. Tanya got her a video of AJR saying hello to them, and that was amazing. And their album is coming out in a couple of weeks. And she has already outlined the first four times she's going to listen to the album all the way through and what she's going to be doing each time. And oh my God, that is classic Tanya.
I used to do that with John Mayer albums. Like, do you understand how many meetings we had about Slow Dancing in a Burning Room?
Oh, that song though is like,
it not only does things to you, but it makes you see the world through a different lens, you know?
I guess it's just, it has such a great melody and like, it's just so beautiful and the guitar, everything about it. But then when you listen to the lyrics and what it's symbolizing, it's just such a beautiful, devastating way of expressing the feelings of a breakup.
These songs just hit different as an adult because, you know, I, in my musical synergy club, I'm 16 and I'm like, oh, heartbreak, like, you know, and then now it's just like so much more intense.
You would have really loved Driver's License when you were 16.
Oh, wow.
That would have been a month's worth of meetings for sure. They actually sold Driver's License, like her merch includes a Kleenex box. And I was like, I would have had the Kleenex box. I would have had the t-shirt. I would have.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been a thing.
Yeah. Because like you think about some of these adult songs that we listen to and like really tried to act like they related to our lives where we had no idea what we were singing about. But Driver's License, especially in high school. I mean, but even after, you know, the breakup songs are always relatable, unfortunately, throughout your life. But in high school, having a song to just like,
I know,
belt in the.
It's like White Horse just was. It's so different to me now than it was then. Yeah,
because you thought, you didn't even know it was a breakup song till like a month ago.
Truly.
It's so sad. It's like such an obvious, sad breakup song. And Tanya was trying to relate it to something hopeful, I think.
Yeah, the white horse and his shining armor. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is not it.
I don't know if anyone here watches Temptation Island, but we love Mark Wahlberg.
Love.
And I just have to say that it's probably one of my favorite shows on television, wow. Even though it's just...
Is it back?
Yeah, it's back. It's on season...
Oh, new season 3? Yes. Oh, wow. What a delight.
There's three episodes. It comes out on Tuesdays, but... it's so messy, but it's so beautifully shot. And like, Mark is just such a comforter. Cause you remember when you had that deep conversation, we were taking shots in Hawaii, like at that bar.
Yes.
And Tanya's literally pouring her heart out about how hard dating is and trying to find a guy. And he's giving her this great advice,
actually.
And so I watch him on the show from that lens, you know, of seeing him as someone who's come on our podcast. And one of my favorite things about the show, even though it's so messy and like literally breaks couples up, a lot of times I don't think they would break up without something this drastic happening to them. And a lot of times, like the girls especially really find themselves and who they are as individuals, like outside of their relationship that maybe wasn't healthy. And there's this one girl who's with this... How he's portrayed, I mean, I don't want to, yeah, it's not good. He's very manipulative and wants his girl to be like everything he wants her to be and like basically act like an assistant or something. I don't know. And she was feeling so insecure. And Mark was just like, she goes, I looked in the mirror today and I was like, I love that girl. And then she watched the clip of him like that getting a lap dance or something. And she got so insecure again. And Mark was like, hey, like, where's the person that just said that you loved yourself? Like, where is she? And he was so sweet. He makes me feel like...
warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, and it's so funny because it's a show that's so not warm and fuzzy. But man, that show is so good.
It does make me think, like, when you say that, I met this girl at a coffee shop the other day. Like, I just went to just get some coffee, and she came up to me. It's so funny. So I had like my mask on, and there was this huge butterfly in the coffee shop. And so I went to go take a video of the butterfly, and she goes, I knew it was you when I saw you taking a video of the butterfly. She's like, I wasn't sure if it was you because the mask, but then once you were taking a video of the butterfly, I knew. And so she listens to the podcast, she listens to the morning show, and she watches all the E shows. So I was like, wow. You are MVP. It's so funny because, you know, I think with the pandemic, people are a little bit not socially awkward, but I feel like she didn't really want to intrude in my day. And you know me, I was just like, how's it going? What's mm-hmm. going on? She was telling me about this breakup that she just went through, and she's moving, and she got this like big like promotion with work. And I was just like, I think I sat and talked to her for maybe 10, 15 minutes, and was like kind of trying to just like encourage her in this, you know, new season of life and stuff like that. And it was just so funny because you can just tell that we're all just wanting to connect. You know what I mean? I think she was like really taken aback that I was like, pulled us out of the coffee shop and was like, let's go outside and talk, you know? And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah, I want to hear about like, what's going on, girl? I haven't talked to anybody all day.
She's all human interaction, please.
Yeah.
Speaking of the E shows, where can everyone see you on Sunday?
Everybody just watch E basically all day on Sunday. Yeah, because I'm really gearing up for a lengthy day, but I'm so excited for it.
She just, during our audio mishap, she showed me her dresses, and let me just say,
she's coming to play.
Golden Globes, I don't know how it can be beat, but this could do it.
Wow.
My only concern with this dress is that it's super tight on my body and I sweat so bad. Like, I'm so scared I'm going to have gnarly sweat. Like, look at this.
Gross.
It's disgusting.
Why would you do it the arm closest to me?
Like, oh, sorry. So I'm really going to have to put some pads in there to absorb the moisture. So fingers crossed, but I don't have a...
Yeah, fingers crossed for that. Didn't think about it. But the orange was tight and...
No, it was open.
Oh, because you have sleeves.
Yeah, so...
Well, that we can all look for pit stains. That's fun. That's a fun game.
Never forget when my bachelor promo photo, the first one of the season, the first season I did, had armpit sweat stains.
Yeah. Oh, cute.
And they didn't edit them out. Cute. It's so cruel. And like, I would not consider myself, I don't sweat a ton, but like, it's normally if I'm nervous, like that's the only time I really sweat like that. And of course, it's taking those photos. It was like nerve wracking. They had picked out the shirt, which I was like, I don't know if that's the one. And then they don't even have the decency.
Yeah. It's rude.
Rude.
Oh, the orange shirt?
Yes.
Sure enough. Look at that.
Isn't that just cruel? Like, they just couldn't do that for me?
You can just edit that. It's an easy edit.
It's an easy edit or crop they could have done.
I'm not good at Photoshop, but I bet I could have figured this one out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do have to say that I'm like very passionate about the nominees this year. So...
Who are you most passionate about? Taylor Swift. Okay, yeah. Who else?
I mean, Taylor. Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, yeah, because you watch her videos and Oprah.
Yeah.
It's like your thing right now.
Yeah. So I'm like going hard on Megan Thee Stallion and Taylor Swift.
You know, I just have to say, I'm so happy for Megan Thee Stallion's success because I went to, I guess this was 2 years ago, the Billboard Women in Music, the awards or whatever.
2019?
Yeah.
You saw Taylor's speech in real life?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I was in the building.
I remember that.
Yeah. Megan Thee Stallion performed. It was kind of her first, like, you know, I hadn't even heard about her before. And she was the last performer and everyone was kind of getting up and like leaving while she was performing. Like everyone was just like not paying attention. And I remember thinking, this is this girl's moment. And everyone's just like acting like it's, that they're ready to go, so they're just gonna leave. So I'm just so, when her song went viral on TikTok, I was so happy for her because I was like, good for her, because now no one's leaving their seats. You know,
back in 2018, she had just kind of broken out. She was really just the Houston rapper and she was really kind of like a community girl. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they were really backing her. And it really wasn't that she broke out and had her commercial success until...
When? What day of what year of what month?
I don't know. I think it might have been 2019. I think it was with her with Fever. But then I think Hot Girl Summer was just like the first one that like really kind of took her to a whole nother level. And now she's like writing like New York op-eds and on the cover of Harper's Bazaar. Yeah. And like, it's just crazy.
I know. It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
And we've been just chatting. I think we have emails.
We do. And we're joined by Easton. And I think, Becca, you owe Easton an apology.
Easton, I'm so sorry because I have made a huge mistake today, and all I had to do was simply push a button and make sure it was recording, and I
leave you guys alone for one afternoon and the whole thing goes to hell.
Easton, the greatest part about this is that I go in and I come in and Tanya goes, hey, Easton's not going to be here, but you know, I'm just kind of nervous, and I go, Tanya, we've been doing this for how long? Like, we should be able to figure this out if Easton's not here for one day. And like,
I plugged in the thing so we could hear the thing, and then I plugged the thing into the other thing, and then I made sure, I said, did you push down the button? It's all Becca needed to do.
So today's show is a hybrid. It is half Zoom audio and half
Listen,
mic audio.
We addressed it. I'm here to admit my mistakes. I apologize for the inconvenience.
We're just keeping everyone on their toes.
I'll make these mics sound horrible too so they match. It'll be okay. That's It'll be consistent.
Oh, no. No, because I told them, I was like, at least the second half of the podcast will be great audio. So we have to get the people what they want.
Yeah. But before we get to the emails, we have to talk about our awesome sponsor.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Well, I think we're all going to be wearing masks for a little while, and it's important to have the right mask. Protect yourself and others.
The N95 respirators can provide a big upgrade to your current mask. There are fakes and counterfeit versions, so you want to be sure that you have the approved version. Secure components guarantees 100% authenticity.
You know, I was thinking about how spring break is coming up and people might be traveling on an airplane, or they might be going into close quarters into a supermarket where there just can't be 6 feet apart. And this N95 would be really, really handy.
Yeah, Secure Components is a trusted source and provided support PPE needed for frontline workers, and they are now available to the public.
So go to securecomponents.com to order masks for you, your friends and family, or your business. Securecomponents.com.
Haley says, I'm newly married, but I've been with my husband for 6 years. We are blessed to be best friends and are happy to get to spend every day together. But even still, I have a hard time believing that he's the one only possible love of my life or only soulmate. Mm. I agreed with Becca and Easton when they said that their partners are one of their ones. My husband and I have had the same conversation. So my question for you all is, do you think that a big part of making a relationship successful has to do with chance / fate / destiny? Or do you think it's more about the choices we make and the work we put into the relationship?
Oh,
good question, Haley.
Hey, Haley, great email. Well, first of all, I would just like to say I'm glad that you and your husband seem to agree with this, as opposed to one of you being like, you're my one and only, and then the other being like, you're one of my ones and only.
Right.
That's good. That's a good start.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
And second of all, to answer the question, I think it's kind of a combination. Like, I think when you're with the right person, you want to put in the work and effort, and that's the difference. Because I think if you're not with the right person, the work feels very daunting and overwhelming. Whereas, I guess, personally speaking, like putting the work into the relationship, like doing therapy and figuring out how I can be better in the relationship, is like, I'm willing to do it because I feel confident in our relationship, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, I obviously am leaning more towards the fate side of things, but I still think that you find your partner with fate and destiny and like meant to be. But I think every relationship requires work and effort, no matter what. Like, even if you find the person that you're meant to be with, I am using the quote hands, I still think it's not going to be just a easy pie road. You know what I mean? I think everybody has easy as pie.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say like walk in the park, but you went easy pie road.
I don't think any relationship is that. And I think that you have to put in the work. So I think destiny and fate is how you find your partner. But I think the work and determination that is required to keep it going.
Men?
I think those are all valid things. I mean, it's hard to say because I'm very happy with my wife for nearly 24 years now. And I'm super happy. But maybe there's someone out there that would make me beyond happy? I have no idea. There's no way to like look into your alternate universe and see like, oh my gosh, I'd be whistling Dixie 24/7 if I was with that person. So I think the goal is to find somebody who makes you happy and put the work into making it work. I agree with that part of the question.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I mean, I've talked about this before on this podcast, but like, just there's a person that matches everything, like, you know, 78%, I'd say 80%. You're never going to find someone that's just that perfect 100%. And I think, you know, I'm extremely happy with my wife too. And I'd be very sad if things didn't, continue that way. You know, there's this philosophical movie called Terminator 2. And in it, they say, there is no fate, but what we make for ourselves. And that's something I think about a lot. And I think
so true.
You know, so I think that like you can, if you believe in the idea of fate, that brings you to the right person, but that takes effort on everyone's part to keep it working.
And to piggyback off of what Easton said,
piggyback.
Yeah. I think that it's important because everybody says, well, you know, fate is going to bring me to the person that I'm supposed to be with. And then you just sit on your couch all day and you don't go outside. Like, it's not going to happen. You have to put work into it.
I'm just thinking about all of the conversations that Tanya might have where someone doesn't correct her or like.
What is it? Piggyback?
Piggyback. Like,
I don't think I've ever used that word
like
before.
Like a piggyback ride. Really, it makes sense when you think about it, right?
I don't know.
We all carry pigs that way, right?
I'm trying to think
like
of how
imagining
how it could
it's
work
like piggy,
as piggy
bank because like Easton started it with his nugget and I'm going to keep putting more into it.
You can make it work.
Wow.
Mic drop, boom. Next email.
You didn't even mean to do that.
Next email is from Yvonne. I'm a teacher, got a master's, worked every weekend while studying, never had to ask anyone for help, had it all figured out. Then I got sick and my reality right now is living in with chronic pain. This makes me unable to work. I'm on Tinder, and the first question everyone asks following how are you is, so what do you do? This gives me a knot in my stomach. I don't know what to say. Somehow it feels like I would be perceived as less attractive and less hardworking if I answer with my current truth. What would you guys say?
This is a very interesting, not interesting, but I think this is a very common issue, and I don't mean because I think people are dealing with chronic pain and not working, but I think everybody has some sort of insecurity that they're scared to admit when they're on a dating app or early on. You know what I mean? I think everybody kind of carries that, whatever that thing is. And I'll never forget something that Matthew Hussey told me years ago. And he's like, it's all about how you project it. If you have an insecurity and you say, and I guess it's hard to say over Tinder. Messaging on a dating app, but there is a way to not make it seem like it's this awkward, heavy thing. Do you know what I mean? Like make light of it, because if you make light of it, then you're not making it awkward. So it's like the example that he gave was sometimes women are insecure about having kids. Mm-hmm. They're scared to tell a man that they have kids. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, if you're on the first date and you go like this, so Easton, you know, I have three kids under the age of 10, and you give that face and you're like, like that. Of course he's going to take it and be like, oh, like, why is she saying it like that? But if you go, Easton, your eyes are just like my son, Jax. They just make me so happy. And then Easton's going to say, oh my gosh, like you have a son. That's so like, great. How many other kids do you have? And then the conversation isn't it's just lighter.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this a few times on the podcast of like, everything is how you present it. How people react is how you present it. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're casually like, oh, you know what? I'm not working right now. I'm really focusing on my health. But, you know, I have, you know, talk about you had a master's, like bring that up where you can. That's awesome. And say like, yeah, my master's, I've been working, but I'm taking a break because I'm, you know, figuring out my health stuff. And then ask them, what do you do? I personally... Mark, it's that movie that you recommended to us. What was it called?
Derek Delgaudio?
Yeah.
In and of itself.
When he said, talks about how when we're little, it's all like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then when you grow up, it's like, well, what do you do? And that is supposed to determine our worth.
Yeah, right? It defines us.
It defines us. And it really, that was so eye-opening to me. And like how I ask that question in a way that doesn't come across that their answer is going to make or break what I think about them. Because I think a lot of times we feel so insecure about that question. And I think if we can make people feel valued outside of whatever their answer is to that question, I think that's so valuable. But I think, just like Tanya said, the way you can say your truth and not be ashamed or insecure, you've done a lot, and taking care of yourself is a priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think the answer to that question is I'm a teacher. Because I think, and just judging from this email, you are a teacher. Like, that is you.
Right, that's your first sentence.
You've been a teacher. You will be a teacher again one day. I think that's fine. And he might ask, what do you teach? And all that stuff. And maybe there's a point in there where you would say, I'm currently on medical leave or whatever it is. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you are a teacher, and there's nothing wrong with saying you are, even if you aren't currently actively teaching right now.
That's right.
I literally don't know how I missed that's the first sentence in the email, but yeah, you're a teacher. I agree, Mark.
Like, or you can like really badass it and be like, I can't make up what you like to do, but you can be like, I'm a teacher, I'm a sister, I'm a friend, I'm a activist, I'm a volunteer, I am a tennis player. That's what I would do.
Depending on the guy that might.
Yeah. I'm classy, I'm bougie, and I'm ratchet.
That's what you should say. Yeah. You should say, I'm a teacher. And also, it's quote the lyrics of Megan Thee Stallion.
Totally. Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, wow.
Hey, one more issue that Ashley Numerdor turned me on to in the Facebook group. Real quick, this girl Callie posted about this, and your response would be interesting. It's a longer email. I'll sum it up this way. Kaylee's not religious. Her boyfriend and his family are, and her boyfriend's mom, they were at dinner, and the mom asked her to do the Stations of the Cross. And Callie didn't want to do the Stations of the Cross because this is not a meaningful gesture in her world. And so she didn't. And so now there's a thing. Now there's a big issue going on with this other family. Even though 2.5 years she's been with this guy and had dinner with this family, and she's never been asked to do that before. They say grace. She sits there silently. It's fine. But she just doesn't do the motions of the cross. Now the mom is making an issue out of it. What can she say to the mom that will diffuse the situation?
I don't know what to do. Do we really like this guy? Does she really like this guy?
She does seem to, although he seems to be kind of siding with mom. He's kind of taking the, you know what, just do it. It's fine. It's no big deal. You don't have to mean anything. Just make your hands do the thing and then it'll be over.
See,
he's such a dude, by the way.
Yeah. I honestly would say I respect your religion and I sit there and I love your family and I respect your family. It's not my choice to practice that religion. And because I know what that means to you, as that is your faith and a symbol of your faith, I don't want to do it because it doesn't have the same meaning to me. And that to me feels more disrespectful than me not doing it.
Yeah, but I mean, I also think there's something to be said about, you know, I dated somebody that was Jewish and I am not Jewish. And I was doing some traditional Jewish things that I'd never done before. And I thought it was cool to do them and learn and listen. And even though I'm not Jewish, it didn't feel wrong. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel disrespectful. It felt actually quite beautiful. So I don't know why she was so kind of befuddled.
It's not opposed.
Opposed.
Kermummel, I believe is the word you used
kermummel.
Earlier.
Kermummel. I don't know why you were so kermummel about it, because just as somebody like as a Christian, you know, I did do some traditional Jewish things and I happily, and I thought it was kind of awesome.
But that was your decision.
Right.
It wasn't, he wasn't saying you need to do this or I want you to do this or put pressure on you. It was your decision to do that. Right.
Right. But I guess what we really didn't gather is was she just being pressured to do it?
Yeah. Or? I mean, that's the bigger issue is why is mom making this an issue now? Why 2.5 years in is this so important to her all of a sudden? I think that's right. There's a bigger issue there that maybe we need to figure
Hanging
out
on.
Yes. And listen, the boyfriend's got to help with that.
Here's the thing. I talked to my therapist about this because she was saying like 95P and I don't have the same like faith or belief. Like, we both respect each other and what we believe, but I've always had this mentality of like, I can be an example for someone to change. And that's not how it is in a relationship. Like if 95P comes to the decision and that's the path that they want to take, then that's totally fine. But I never want it to be because I pressured that decision. And my therapist was saying, it's okay to want, especially when it comes to faith and stuff, like she was saying, it's okay to want someone to change. Like, that's not a bad thing. And I think there's a lot of pressure on, or people feel like they're guilty for wanting someone to change. And I've always felt like that. But she was saying, like, it's normal for you to want your partner to experience something that's so good in your life, mm-hmm. as long as you can accept that you're not responsible for changing them and that it has to be their decision. And so,
you know, Becca really is hunkering down on a very strong point, which is pressure. People crumble under pressure. And I think that sometimes we do it without even realizing how much we're doing it. And I think I've been realizing that a lot in my life because of the way that I am just in general. I'm a planner, so I like to plan things and I like to, you know, look a big picture. And I'm realizing that I need to strip that back and really live day by day, because I was putting pressure on myself and other people for things that were so far down the line, mm-hmm. that it's like, how do I even know if I want that with you in 6 months? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I think pressure is such a huge thing to kind of really focus on your life and in what ways you're putting pressure on yourself and what ways you're putting pressure on other people in your life, and like really focus on that, because that is such a thing that I don't think a lot of us even realize that is affecting our lives.
I also feel like, you know, a lot of in-laws or like parents of the guy or girl that you're dating have opinions on you, and like you might have different beliefs or grew up differently. And I would hope that her boyfriend would have a conversation with his mom and say, hey, Kaylee does not have the same beliefs. I've been dating her for 2 years. Like, you know this about her. And I want her to feel comfortable coming into our home without feeling like she has to practice what we do.
Because pretend to be something she's not. Right.
Or pretend to be something. That's what I'm saying. Like, what does it benefit them if she's doing the motions, but that's not... Mm-hmm. Like, the whole thing to me with religion, the problem to me a lot of the times is that people follow the rules and do the signals and announce it to everybody, but how they live doesn't match what they're doing. And so to me, she's asking her to do the things that's not how she's living her lifestyle.
Right. It's unfair. It's not like Kaylee's like stepping outside and crossing her hands and like not participating until
she's
it's over.
She's being respectful to them and like entering their home, knowing what they believe and being respectful of it. But I don't think that means that she should be forced to do something she's not comfortable doing.
Excellent. I don't know what to do with that.
I think we've given guidance in our own special way.
Okay.
Yeah, that's hard. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
The force be with you.
Yeah. I really hope her boyfriend can like stand up for her.
I know, you know, it's deep when I make a Star Wars analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easton just like floated out of a seat.
I need a cigarette after that one. Wow.
Oh, man.
Well, on that note, happy International Women's Day. We love all of you. We're so grateful for you. I hope that you take today and every day really to celebrate the incredible women in your life.
Same.
The ones who are breaking boundaries, who have already broken boundaries, who are pushing the envelope, doing it all.
Breaking the glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. The other day I was looking at my Instagram insights and I noticed that my audience on Instagram is 97% female. And I don't know why it brought me so much joy. Like, for I sure. love men and that shout rules. Out to all the men that listen. We love you. But I don't know why I carried so much pride in that.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of. Yeah, we love you all. And I can't. Oh, we have a very fun guest next week. We haven't had a guest in a while, but I'm very excited about it.
It's a great guest. Next week's just going to be an embarrassment of riches.
Well, because Grey's Anatomy is this week.
Oh, that's right. Grey's Anatomy. It's back on Thursday.
And we'll be post Grammys.
Oh my gosh. Monday's going to be so fun.
And my boudoir photo shoot.
Oh my God.
I mean,
that's that day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's March. Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
I just forgot, but wow, here we are.
See, I told you it's going to be here before you know it. Did I not say that?
You did say that.
Thank you.
Can we say who the guest is next week, or is it a big surprise?
No, I don't think it's a surprise. We're having Anthony Hill, who was on our Galentine's Day show, but we're getting him as a full guest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited to talk. We were so like giddy, giddy little girls when we talked to him. He was so fun.
So fun.
So luckily he's going to come back on. It'll be post Grey's premiere.
He's a man of his word. He said he'd come back. And
that's right. That's right.
He's back, baby.
A lot of them have held up their word. Yeah,
I agree.
All right. We will be back next week with a lot to talk about, and we'll see you then.
Love you. Bye. I might be in my lingerie for next week's episode. Oh, we have a guest. Never mind.
Oh, wow. You're going to be blowing him kisses again in your lingerie.
TBD.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. On that note, we're going. All right. Goodbye. Love you all.
Now you just hit stop.
Okay.